been preaching a series of messages, the church that people need. We would like to conclude that series this evening. There's much more that can be said, but I feel it's time to conclude this series. I'd like tonight to turn to Psalm 133. Psalm 133 in verse 1. Behold, how good or beautiful and bountiful and how pleasant or enjoyable it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. In order to be the church that people need, it must be our, as we've stressed throughout the series, it must be our purpose, it must be our determination, our intention, our objective, to do the Lord's business, the Lord's way, for His honor and for His glory. That should be our aspiration. That should be our quest. And in this quest to do the Lord's business, the Lord's way, for His honor and for His glory, if we're going to be the church that people need, there must be unity. I'm not just talking about unity in a business meeting. I'm not just talking about being pleasant with one another. I'm talking about a unity that is far, far more important than whether we agree on what to do with the lawn or what to do with this or what to do with that. I'm talking about a unity of objective. And again, that is to do the Lord's work, the Lord's way. That is why we cannot allow people to become members who are not in unity with the objective, doing the Lord's work, the Lord's way, for His honor and for His glory. Unity of purpose is absolutely essential to the well-being of a business, the well-being of home, and certainly to the well-being of a church. It is absolutely essential to the effectiveness of a New Testament Baptist church. By this unity, we mean that there must be harmony, there must be accord, there must be uniformity. And again, doing the Lord's work, the Lord's way. And it must be a joint effort. There must be a partnership, a solidarity among the members of Home Baptist Church concerning the objective, concerning what it is that we are here for. So I want to speak this evening, if we're going to be the church that people need, there must be a shared purpose. We must have the same purpose. I believe that there are times when a church can agree on how things ought to be done as far as maintenance or who to have for revival or whatever, and still not be in unity. There has to be a unity of purpose. There has to be a unity in what it is that we are working toward. So we want to look at this unity. The New Testament has much to say about it. We want to see how it is described in the New Testament, and we'll be looking at several verses. Notice in the book of Acts, chapter 4, the book of Acts, chapter 4, and verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed, he's talking about the church here, were of one heart and of one soul. So this unity, and again, we're talking about unity of purpose. We're talking about all of us moving in the same direction spiritually. This is the unity that we're interested in. And it is described as being of one heart, one soul, a multiplicity of people that are one. That are one. It shows that, again, a unity of heart means that we're compassionate to one another. Certainly that's included. It's included sympathy for one another, affection toward one another, but it's much more than that. It is being one heart and one soul striving to reach one particular objective. And that is, again, doing the Lord's work, the Lord's way. It is also described as being of the same mind. Notice in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And verse 16. He says, be of the same mind, one toward another. He describes this as being like-minded. Later on, notice in Romans chapter 15, verses 5 and verse 6. Now the God of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded, one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may be with one mind and one mouth. One mind, one mouth. A multiplicity of people having one mind, having one mouth, thinking the same way. Again, I don't care if we differ on whether the grass should be 2 inches long or 3 inches long. I don't care. But we need to be, when it comes to the faith, when it comes to doing the Lord's business, the Lord's way, we need to be one mind. And we need to all speak the same thing. One mind, one mouth, glorifying the Lord. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be mature. Be sincere. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Be of one mind. Live in peace. I believe being of one mind will result in living in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. That is, be of one mind, and God will bless. Be of one mind in the right thing, and God will bless that. He always does. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And verse 2, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, that ye be like-minded. And again, the Bible also speaks of those in Philippians 3 and verse 15 who are otherwise minded. Those are the ones you have to look out for. Those are the ones you have to watch. The ones who are otherwise minded. Again, I'm not talking about petty things. I'm not talking about things that really don't matter. I'm talking about things that do matter. I'm talking about things, the things that we're here for. Doing the Lord's work. Watch those who are otherwise minded. Watch those who have a different objective. That's why you cannot have members come in and set the terms. Because we already have an objective. And you're either on board with that objective or you're not. And if you're not on board with that objective, you need to go somewhere where you can be on board with their objective. Or whatever your objective might be. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And verse 8. Finally, be all of one mind. There it is again. One mind. We're to think alike. Again, I keep reminding you, we're talking about doing the Lord's work the Lord's way. We're to be of one mind when it comes to spiritual things. We see also this unity is described as being perfectly joined together in mind and in judgment. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you. But, that is, rather than there being divisions, but that ye be perfectly or absolutely, completely, entirely, and totally joined together. Joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. A church is in great danger when they cannot agree on disciplinary matters, when they cannot agree on doctrinal matters, when they cannot agree in the direction that we ought to be going. That church is in trouble. That church is in great danger. That church is in danger of ceasing to be what people need if they already haven't. Again, we must be perfectly joined together in mind and in judgment. We should all be perfectly joined together in thinking it is not our goal to please the ungodly. It is not our goal to entertain the ungodly. It is not our goal to get as many members as we can possibly get. Our goal is to be pure. Our goal is to do the Lord's work the Lord's way. And we need to be perfectly joined together in that. Again, we can vote to buy a refrigerator and someone may want to buy one size and some may want to buy the other. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a unity that's far, far greater than that. Far, far more important. The truth is, we can disagree on the size of a refrigerator we should buy and still be the church that we ought to be. But you can't disagree on the objective. You can't disagree on the purpose and continue to be the church that people need. So this unity is to be perfectly joined together. It is also described as living in peace. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 13. Live in peace with one another. It is also described as a unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Notice in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3. Endeavoring. It speaks of earnest and industrious effort. endeavoring to keep. To keep is to guard. It implies that you already have it. So Paul here is talking to a church that's not experiencing division. He's talking to a church that has unity. And he says you need to endeavor, you need to be earnest to guard the unity that you have. If you're thinking the same thing, you're of the same mind, you're all moving in the same direction spiritually, you all have the same goal of doing God's work, God's way, for His honor and for His glory, you need to guard that unity. You must not let anything come in that would weaken in any way that unity. So-and-so wants to join the church, but they don't believe in singing the songs that we sing. You better beware. They don't believe what we preach. You better beware. It's not worth it. Well, they have a large family. It would really add to our membership. It's not worth it. They are joining us. And we already know what direction we're going. And they must be in unity. They must be in unity with our objective, which again is to do God's work. So he says to this church who had unity that they needed to work very hard to guard it. And we need to work hard to guard the unity that we have. If you let down, you will soon allow people in that are not in unity. You need to guard against that. You need to watch. Romans 16, you watch those that cause divisions. You better watch them. And if they continue to do so, you had better do something about it. Because you must keep. You must keep unity. So he says, you endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. It is a unity that the Holy Spirit has produced. God, the Holy Spirit, is our teacher. And he teaches us the same things. And he causes us to be in agreement. You endeavor and you work very earnestly to keep that unity that the Spirit of God has produced. And this is in the bond of peace. Now we're talking about the bond of peace. We're talking about a relationship. We have a relationship with one another. We have a tie. We have a link. God has added us to the same body. That means that God has linked us together. Those whom God has added. And we must guard to keep. We must guard to keep that unity. And the bond of peace speaks of friendship. Speaks of fellowship. It speaks of partnership. It speaks of association. It speaks of an attachment to one another. And it's the Holy Spirit that has produced all of this. Now, having that, again, this is more than being kind to one another. Certainly, that it's all included, but it's much more important than that. It's much more important than whether or not we should send $1,000 or $1,200 to a missionary. This is something far more important than that. This is a unity of objective. And we cannot be the church that people need if you have a membership that's moving all in different directions. It's not possible. We must all be moving in the same direction. I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with people voting against matters that are not spiritual. They don't believe that we should spend X amount of dollars on such and such. I don't have a problem with them voting against that. I have a problem with once the church has decided and they take on a crusade, now we've got a problem. But you can vote against it. But I do have a problem when people vote against spiritual things. When it is a spiritual matter, moving in a direction toward Christ, I have a real problem when someone votes against that. or what most people do today that would vote against it is they abstain. In other words, I'm against it, but I don't have the backbone to tell you. You're either for it or against it. And when it comes to spiritual matters, we need to be moving in the same direction. We see also this unity is described as one body and the whole body. This is very important. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Notice verse 12. For as the body, the human body, is one and hath many members. I have two arms, I have two legs, two eyes, two ears, but I'm one body. One body. You cut this body in half, it ceases to be. One body. For as the physical body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ, or so also is the body of Christ. For by one Spirit are we, that is the local body of Christ, all baptized into one body. It's not two bodies. It's one body. One body with the same objective. Verse 20, but now are they many members, yet but one body. One body. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. There is one body. It's talking about the local congregation. One Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. Verse 16. For whom the whole body. We are to operate as one body. We are to operate as a whole. That which is whole is complete. We are to operate as one body. We are to operate as a complete body. That is, everybody in that body is on the same page, moving in the same direction, at least wanting to go in the same direction. There are not five or six different spiritual objectives. There is one. And again, that's to do the Lord's work, the Lord's way, for His honor and for His glory. So we're one body. One speaks of a unit. Speaks of a combining. We're to be a whole body. That means we're to be intact. We're to be unbroken. So-and-so gets angry because somebody has been disciplined from the church. So-and-so gets angry because of a truth that is preached and they stay out of the church. You're now no longer operating as a whole body. You've got a problem. And it is a problem that must be addressed. One body, a whole body. Home Baptist Church is to be one body. Home Baptist Church is to be a whole body. Again, we're talking, it applies to all things, but we're talking about the most important thing of all, spiritual matters. This unity is also described as being tempered and framed and joined together. Again, notice 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 24. Again, he's comparing a physical body to the church as a body. In verse 24, he says, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered. That is, God has harmonized and God has proportioned the body together. When God adds to a church, He does so in a way that produces harmony. I don't believe the Lord is going to add anybody that is going to take away. He adds those who are truly an addition. There is a harmony. There is a proportioning. The Lord knows what we need. Believe it or not, the Lord knows what kind of church members you need. And when God adds, He proportions it together. Just what we need. This is this unity that we're talking about. God hath tempered or mingled, harmonized, and proportioned the body together. Together. Again, that word together speaks of unity. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 21, in whom all the building fitly, harmoniously framed, which means bound and welded together. This is how God adds. We are fitly framed, bounded and welded together. And when this happens, it groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. Paul puts it this way in Ephesians 4 verse 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined. When it's fitly joined, it's organized. God doesn't create a mess. God does everything in order. And if a church is in a mess, that's not God's doing. It is fitly framed, bound and welded together, fitly joined or organized together and compacted. That is pressed firmly together. God wanted a church, wanted His church in Mount Morris, Michigan. And God has added to that church. And what He has done is He has brought people from various backgrounds, people from various parts of the country, and He has organized them together. And we're to keep that unity. And He has compacted, pressed them firmly together. Why did He do that? So that we can decide what size refrigerator we need? No, I don't think so. He did that so that His work would be done in His way in Mount Morris, Michigan. And each one that God has added, He's compacted them together. And now it is our responsibility to endeavor to keep, to guard that unity. We cannot allow, again, anything to weaken that unity. We cannot allow an individual. We cannot allow a family. We cannot allow anything to threaten that unity of purpose, that objective. Notice he talks about this unity as being in one spirit, one mind, striving together. Notice in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Philippians 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast. That you stand firm. That you stand immovable, unmovable.
Well, I think we ought to buy red carpet, and I'm not moving from that.
That's not what he's talking about. That's not what he's talking about.
I think we ought to have pork at the conference rather than
whatever else.
And I'm not moving.
That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about spiritual things. He's talking about unity of doctrine. He's talking about unity of purpose. He's talking about unity of objection. That you stand fast. And that you do so in one spirit. That you do so in one attitude and one frame of mind. We are here to do God's business, God's way, for His honor and for His glory. And we're going to stand fast in that. And we are of one attitude and one frame of mind. And when somebody comes along and says, oh, I don't think we ought to do it that way, the whole church stands fast and says, this is the way we're doing it. And if you don't like it, you can go somewhere else. You can go somewhere else. So we're to stand in one attitude and one frame of mind, with one mind, that is, with one judgment, striving. That speaks of an effort. Striving together. Not separately. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. For the truth. The gospel. We must guard that unity. There are all kinds of wolves, and every now and then a wolf will creep in. And every now and then a false teacher might creep in. But they'll manifest themselves. They always do. And when they do, you must take action. You have to. Oh, that's unkind. We need to teach them. You need to take action. Because it is our duty to guard this unity. We cannot allow, and they all work the same way. I've never seen them work differently. They have the knack, they have the ability, they have the talent of finding the weakest member in the church. I'm talking spiritually. And they'll pull them to the side. And they'll begin to pay them compliments. And oh, they'll begin to build them up. Oh, and then they'll begin to tell them, you're not appreciated. You're not appreciated by this church. And then they'll begin to tell them what they think. And they've got them. And then they'll go to the next one. As soon as you see that happening, the church needs to stand fast. Put a stop to it. Because it will spread. In every church, there are sheep. There are mature sheep. Also, there are immature sheep. We have a responsibility to protect the immature sheep. We have a responsibility to watch over them. And to protect them from the wolves. And this is all part of guarding this unity. So there must be a joint effort, a joint cooperation, an effort of partnership, an effort of working in tandem, working side by side, shoulder to shoulder, hand in hand, toward that one goal, doing the Lord's work, the Lord's way, for His honor and glory. Yes, we may disagree on what color the hymn book should be. We may disagree on what color the pews should be, what color the carpet should be, what kind of piano we should buy, what kind of organ we should buy, what kind of pulpit should we have. But you cannot disagree on the objective and the truth. And hopefully, when you disagree, hopefully soon we're going to buy new hymn books. And hopefully somebody doesn't say, well, I want blue. Well, I want green. Hopefully people realize, you know, we all have the same objective. And that is to do God's work God's way. And I don't care if the hymn book's red or blue. It doesn't matter.
because it has nothing to do with doing the Lord's work. And we need to realize that when we have differences of opinion on some things, we need to realize, you know what? That really isn't all that important. And I realize that this brother over here, this sister over here, though they may think it should be done a different way, think we should buy something else, a different model, we're still working toward that same objective. And we're not going to let anything weaken that unity. This unity is described as being of one accord. Philippians 2 and verse 2, he says, "Fulfill ye my joy and be ye like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." It speaks of agreement. It speaks of concurrence, compatibility, being of one accord. Again, the goal is not to appease the ungodly. The goal is not to make them feel comfortable. The goal is not to make them feel non-threatened. The goal is doing the Lord's work. That's the goal. And we must be of one accord. If we're going to continue to be the church that people need, we must be of one accord in these things that matter. Philippians 3 and verse 16 describes this unity as walking by the same rule. Our rule of faith and practice is the Word of God. And we must all walk by the same rule. Yes, I know what the Bible says, but we must walk by the same rule. The Word of God. Now notice quickly the characteristics of this unity. We're told in our text in Psalm 133 and verse 1, it is good. It's good. That is, it's an excellent thing. It's a very acceptable thing to be in unity concerning the Lord's work. It's the right thing. It's a good thing. It's an admirable thing. It says that it's good and pleasant. That is, that it's enjoyable. When I first, right after 5 years and went to Faith in Streamwood, the first couple of years there, every single message I preached was challenged by someone. Every single week. Didn't matter what I preached. Someone wanted to argue. Someone wanted to challenge. And I learned very, very quickly that before I preach, I'm going to know what I'm talking about. And I'm going to be able to confront all their objections. You know what? When you don't have that unity, it's not very enjoyable. It's not an enjoyable thing to come to church when there is division over doctrine. It's not enjoyable. For the most part, I love preaching. I enjoy preaching. But back then, I couldn't hardly stand it. I dreaded it because I knew that afterwards there was going to be an argument. There is going to be a challenge. But unity, when we're all on the same page, spiritually, that's enjoyable. It's a very satisfying thing. It's a very pleasing thing. You know, I've learned through the years that I can disagree with somebody over money or what color the hymn book should be. But as long as we're in unity of purpose, that's really what matters. And you can overlook a lot of things by just realizing, you know what?
we're on the same page. We're moving in the same direction. And I believe that for the most part, that is true of Home Baptist Church. And we have the same objective. I'll be honest, there are some I'm not so sure about. But for the most part, we have the same objective spiritually. And we must guard that unity. He also says in Psalm 133 and verse 2, Psalm 133, verse 2, that this unity is like precious ointment. He's talking about oil. And the nature of this oil is to heal that which is wounded. Unity has the ability to heal that which is wounded. Somebody can say something that hurts your feelings. But when you realize, you know what? We're on the same page. We're striving for the same thing in the long run. That has a healing effect. It heals wounds. People who get their feelings hurt and then don't darken the door of a church for 6 months, I seriously question their objective. I believe their objective is themselves and not doing the Lord's work, the Lord's way. The nature of oil is to heal. Also, the nature of oil is to soften that which is hard. Tell you what, it's pretty hard to have hardness of heart toward a brother or sister in Christ when you're moving in the same direction, when you have the same objective. It's pretty hard. This unity is for the good of the people of God. Jeremiah 32, we'll be done here in a minute. Jeremiah 32, verse 39. And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever. Then notice what it says. For the good of them, for their own good, and for their children after them. You know what happens to children that grow up in a church where there's constant fighting over spiritual matters? They either leave the church or they become just like that. God help us. Unity is for the good of the people. Unlike division within the church, unity gives liberty to the preaching of the word. When there is division of doctrine, when there is division of spiritual objective, people are not going to learn as much as they could. Remember, Paul said to the church of Corinth, I wanted to speak to you spiritual things, but you're not able to handle it because of the divisions. When a pastor has to address all the issues that's going on all the time, it really takes away from the teaching of the Word of God. And it becomes destructive. But unity, unlike division, enables people to properly hear the preaching of the word, which of course is to their own spiritual benefit. Ephesians 4 verse 12 says that, and also verse 13, that this unity is edifying to the church. It is edifying to the church. So if we're going to be the church that people need, there must be a unity. There must be a unity of burden. We must have the same burden. And that is to please God, to do everything for His honor and for His glory. There must be a unity of purpose.
When there is a unity of burden, when there is a unity of purpose, there will also be a unity of priority. We have the same priority: to honor and glorify the Lord. And it is a unity that makes us ready to do whatever it is that God would have us to do. It is a unity of devotion. It is a unity of steadfastness. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. This is absolutely necessary if we are going to continue to be the church that people need. Every now and then, something will come up to manifest a wrong heart in someone. Every now and then, trouble will creep in. But in all those times, what is most important is that the church stands for the truth. That you just stand together. No matter how difficult it is, no matter how trying it might be, no matter how many people leave, this is where we stand. People need to know that. Everybody that desires to be a member of Home Baptist Church needs to know this is where we stand. And if you're going to join with us, this is where you stand also. This is where you must stand also. There must be unity. There must be agreement. God help us to continue to be the church that people need. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in a verse of song. Let's all stand. Brother Larry, lead us in the sanctuary.